mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Peace, peace. Wouldn't it be great if there was peace? Peace in our land, and especially peace in Christ's church. But division runs deep, doesn't it? In society and between sanctuaries. More than that, the lack of peace is present in our own hearts. Division seems to know no bounds as we who are Christian contend against our own sinful selves. As our flesh wages war with the Spirit we received in baptism, the Holy Spirit of God. This upheaval in our hearts, as our new man wrestles with the old man, saint against sinner, well, it drives away peace, doesn't it? Peace, peace. Wouldn't it be great if there was peace? Yet, we cannot manufacture peace where it doesn't exist. We cannot say, peace, peace, when there is no peace, as the false prophets wrongly did in Jeremiah 8:11. And as the false teachers in wayward denominations and misguided congregations wrongly do to this very day as they preach unity and harmony and peace, all the while encouraging their hearers to not guard the truth of God's word and to downplay protecting the right teaching of it in the name of Jesus. Don't get caught up in doctrinal differences. Can't we all just get along? It's not for us to create a false sense of peace. Not for those who may be curious about what we teach and who we are here at St. Mark's or as Lutheran Church Missouri Synod people, but not even for ourselves can we create a false sense of peace. So that we can put on a plastic smile and say, with the beeve, all is swell, when it's not. None of us can sing with the band Aqua, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, life is plastic, it's fantastic. Because fake peace is plastic, and just that, fake. No matter how hard we try to pretend it's real, it's not. And it won't stand when it counts. On the last day, plastic peace will break. Because it's make-believe. It's a facade. Peace, peace. Wouldn't it be great if there was peace? Today's gospel reading showed us Jesus as he drew near to Jerusalem, God in the flesh, making his way to the cross, the true place of peace, where he would establish it forever. It shows us there in the gospel text, God lamenting, weeping over the holy city. The city that draws its name from the very word peace. Jerusalem. Shalom. Peace. Jesus cries out to that city saying, would that you, O city of peace, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. Luke 19:42. And then he goes on to foretell how the Romans will sack Jerusalem because it did not know the time of its visitation, the time when the Prince of Peace drew near and yet was rejected. It didn't know the things that make for peace. Do you know the things that make for peace? True, substantial peace. Whether we're talking about peace in our land or between denominations, or in your heart as you contend with your old Adam?
Grace.
Grace. The means of grace. Amen, sister. I mean, amen, sister. I almost missed a perfect opportunity. True peace, real peace, comes only through Christ crucified, and that is given to us by the means of grace. It comes only through faith in Jesus. It comes in the revelation of God incarnate, the Word of God, made flesh for the forgiveness of sins, all sins, your sins. The things of peace are what we often refer to as the means of grace. The gospel proclaimed right now, this, a word of forgiveness, as in confession and absolution at the very beginning of the service. Christ's sacraments, baptism, that connects you, tethers you, ties you up and binds you to the wood of the cross and the resurrection of the tomb, the empty tomb of Christ. And communion, that gives you the very fruit of the tree of life, Jesus' body that hung there and his blood that poured from it, like sap delivering nutrients to you. These are the things that make for peace. They literally deliver peace to you through your ears and down into your hearts. Faith in Christ, submission to God's will, repentance and trust in his word. These are the things that make for peace. What was it that the heavenly host sang when they spoke to the shepherds about the birth of our Messiah at the beginning of Luke? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Luke 2:14. Christ in the flesh and crucified is peace for the repentant sinner who has faith in Jesus as his Savior. Jesus. Not Jesus as we make him out to be in our own wayward hearts. Not the Jesus that lets us keep on sinning as long as that sin makes us happy. Not that Jesus. Not the Jesus that lets you continue living life your way, how you deem it should be lived, ignoring things that have the potential to divide, ignoring differences in an attempt to manufacture a false peace where words are never spoken, where the word of God is muted for fear that if it's mentioned, it may cause a division. And that false peace may be disrupted and people may get their feelings hurt for fear that the law that tells us God's will for our lives will hit our eardrums like a 2x4, smacking us up against the head. And we'll be faced with the truth that we'd rather not think about, which when silenced, the law, which when silenced, barricades our hearts against the gospel that saves us from not being able to live out that law. But we must hear the law so that we can hear the gospel. We must know the will of God so we can know the only one who kept it. Not a fake Jesus, but the real Christ who's been revealed in Scripture. That Jesus is true peace. That Jesus is the solution to what divides your heart, our churches, and yes, this land, that Jesus, the remedy to all of our differences, the one who heals our wounds, that is, forgives our sins. Jesus brings peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that ended the war between rebellious man, that would be you and me, and the triune God, who worked a treaty, a peace treaty, to end all violence between us. The peace that reconciled us back to the one who loves us, who, as the Old Testament reading said, pays attention and listens to us, hears our prayers, who knows and wants what's good for us, and has done everything to save us from ourselves. As we like to live like those in Jeremiah's day, perpetually backsliding, as he said, holding fast to deceit because it's more what we want than what's true, refusing to return from our waywardness, not speaking rightly, good doctrine, not relenting of evil, but denying our guilt, everyone turning to his own course, knowing not the just decrees of the Lord. All of that comes from Jeremiah 8, 5 through 7. But thinking rather, I know what's best. Thinking, well, I am a father, and father does know best, right?
Yeah.
I know what's best. Thinking himself wise, all the while rejecting the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 8, 8 through 9. Refusing even to read it. Refusing to hear it, to listen to it, to study it, to pay attention to it. Refusing to submit to it. When it says one thing, but we want to do another thing. Peace, peace. Wouldn't it be great if there was peace? You might expect me to say yes, but no. Not when there is no peace. And to make this point, I need to draw from the 1970s, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. If you haven't seen this, this is British slapstick comedy at its finest. And there's a famous scene in the film where King Arthur gets into a sword fight with the Black Knight. By the time the battle's over, Arthur has chopped off all four of the knight's limbs. Not one, not two, all four of them. It sounds gruesome, but it's hilarious. The knight acts like these major wounds are nothing. When his first arm is chopped off, the audience is shocked. Well, certainly this is over if it wasn't for, you know, this being Monty Python, right? Being comedy. Of course, this is the end of the fight. Arthur has won. But contrary to the truth, the knight declares, "'Tis but a scratch." And keeps right on fighting. Then he loses the next three limbs. This is to say, peace, peace, when there is no peace, is not right. That is to speak wrongly. Those who say so, who declare a peace when there isn't a peace, as we read in Jeremiah, they heal the wound of God's people lightly. That is, they don't actually heal the wound at all. They apply a band-aid when what's needed is a transplant or a transfusion. But seriously, wouldn't it be great if there was peace? And to that, of course, we would say yes. If there is a peace, it would be great to declare that peace. Well, is there such a thing as peace?
In our hearts,
yes. Yes, because of the cross, right?
Yeah.
Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, which has worked faith in your hearts, is peace. Under the blood-soaked cross of Christ, into which you were baptized, the fruit of which you receive in communion, and by which you are absolved in the proclamation of the gospel. There, in these things that make for peace, there is true peace. We say, not, 'tis but a scratch, but, oh man, I lost my arm, please fix me. Right? In Christ crucified, we are healed, not lightly, but with the Lord's heavy hand. Put pressure on the wound.
Yeah.
So our sin-cut wound will heal, so that it will stop bleeding from our following the idol of self, mostly. Peace, peace. Wouldn't it be great if there was peace? Yes. A resounding 10,000 times, yes. It would be. It is. It is great. There is peace. And that peace has been shared with you by the power of the Holy Spirit, who brings to your mind, to your heart, the words and works of Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace, crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. You, my friends, are forgiven. You, my friends, have received true peace. The Lord is with us. The time of our visitation is now. Right now. Receive today the things that make for peace. The proclamation of this gospel that you are forgiven of your sins. And Christ's very body and blood given and shed for you that declares it to be true and strengthens you in that knowledge, in that faith. For your peace, for the forgiveness of your sins has been won. I will say, to steal the words of the false prophets, peace, peace, for there is peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.